Hello everyone, I hope you're doing great today and enjoy these stories. If you want to support my channel, then make sure you check out my Patreon, where you can get access to my videos early. And make sure that you check out my podcasts in the description below, where you can also hear my videos in MP3 form. I'd like to share this quickly before the video starts. I think that it's very important that you make sure you have goals constantly if you're someone who struggles in yourself with mental health. Because I know that there's nothing worse than, at least for myself, being in the abyss with nothing on the horizon to look forward to or work towards. Because for whatever reason, I find the worst that I can get is when I don't have anything that I'm working on. So hopefully that can help some people out there. And remember too, getting better or changing things isn't always that easy in life, so be prepared for the challenge of it. But don't let bad days get you down too much, because they're always going to come. What counts is the strength to continue, and that's what makes your long-term changes. I believe in you, and I hope you're doing great. I'll speak to you all soon. Now, my grandma used to take me camping when I was a child. I did a girls' camp in the summer in the mountains when I was a preteen, where my friends and I would often wander off into the woods together. As a child, I played in the woods for hours with my brother. It was always fun and always felt safe and never eerie or creepy. Most of my time in the woods as a child was spent there, and it was fun and joyful and adventurous. I'd like to share another story, however, that I had a bad feeling from, and others dismissed us too, but when we were in our 20s, a friend of mine in DC organized a women's survivalist training camp for our female friends, which is probably 7 or 8 of us, I can't remember exactly. No, I'd never been to West Virginia, but the land was beautiful and the roads were terrible. We had rented a cabin at a campground with multiple cabins on site, and during the day, now our guide and teacher would take us and show us cool things like local medicinal plants, or how to make rope out of milkweed. A West Virginian extended family was having a large reunion at the same time. 2 to 3 of their girls, about elementary school age, start hovering around our classes. Now, they already knew most of what we're learning. We had a great time in the woods and on the land with no creepiness for the first night. However, on the last night, the owner of the campground had a big bonfire with hot dogs and marshmallows to roast and cider, and everybody who was renting a cabin was invited. It was after dark, and it was either a longish walk or a short drive, and this is on the campground land, so my friend A and I decided to walk. We were having a nice walk and a nice chat when we suddenly got a bad feeling. We both went quiet at the same time and were nonchalant, but glanced around to see what we could see. On our right was a cabin that looks deserted. It was totally dark, no lights on, no lantern out, but there was a single spot of light, the red embers of a cigarette burning. We could barely make out the figure of a man sitting there in the dark smoking. We stay quiet but pick up the pace. We checked in with each other once we approached the big house, and we're finally in the light of the bonfire. Now that was creepy to us. Had we felt creepy before out there? No, calm and safe. The land hadn't ever felt creepy to us before, but the guy sitting in the dark had given a terrible menacing vibe, even 20 feet away, before we saw him. We told some of our friends and they just laughed it off, and told us that we'd been afraid for no reason. It was perfectly safe here, they said. He's just another camper. Probably with the West Virginian family, and we're just paranoid, they say. Other than that, we had a great time at the bonfire, chatting with other campers and with the owners, who are very nice. When it came time to call it a night, the owners offered to drive us back, and A and I happily agreed. Now, wanting to avoid another walk by the terrible cabin, we got back safely without incident, and the owners wished us good night. Now, our cabin had 2 levels, the ground floor and a loft level. The ground floor was one big open room with a few beds, and if I recall correctly, a table and chairs and a fridge and maybe a stove. I was on the ground floor with the other three girls, and A was on the left level with the other two three girls at the top. I often have insomnia, and I did that night, so I just stayed awake in the dark while everybody else fell asleep around me. I was awake for hours just thinking my thoughts until I heard the crunch of gravel outside, like somebody walking on it. I nudged my friend V, who was the closest person to me. I say to V there's someone outside, but V mumbled and said it's a deer and go back to sleep, so V's no help. I got out of bed and crawled over to the window to see if I could see a deer outside, crunching on gravel. I instead see the red glow of a cigarette and can barely make out the silhouette of two men in the darkness. Now, the two cabins are not close together. They weren't far, but they weren't close. We're on a bend of the camp road where the other cabins aren't. Now, the closest one was a short walk away, but it wasn't like running across the street or next door or anything, and not visible behind the trees and brush. Anyway, the closest cabin was far enough away that there was no other reason for two guys to be out there smoking. I nudge V and say, there's two guys there, and she says it's a deer asleep. Now, my boyfriend at the time had basically brought me all of REI to go on this trip. Our guide had asked us to bring a large knife, and had brought a nice hunting knife, and also a little camp hatchet. I don't know what I'd been able to do, to be honest, but I grabbed both, and just huddled to the window waiting in the dark. Suddenly, a car alarm goes off and all the cars were parked in the front of the house. Groans came, saying, come on, get the alarm off, who's that? And I said, I think it's mine, and found the fob and turned off the alarm. There's silence and we wait. The car alarm goes off again now. The girls lost it and say, shut up with your car. Now, I finally crawl to V. I say, V, the guy's out there. I think they're messing with the car of the other girl. And she says, it's a deer, go to bed and leave me alone. Okay then, the car alarm goes off again, and they shout at her to turn off the car alarm. Now, A eventually comes down the little ladder thing. I went up to her and whisper, A, there's two guys out there, and no one believes me. They're just saying it's a deer. But I saw them smoking in the back. You can't go out there alone. I'm going out there first with the lantern so at least we can see around the cabin. So we put the shoes on and I turned on the lantern and open the door and walk onto the porch with the lantern in my left hand and hatchet in my right. I hung up the lantern on a little hook on the porch. It was very bright and lit up the whole clearing in front of the cabin and the whole parking lot for the cars. For at least a moment, we can't see anyone there. I tentatively walked towards the front door and walked around the car, trying the handles. No alarm went off as she tugs them. See, it wasn't a deer, I said. Even with you trying to get into the car while it was locked, no alarm. Your alarm's not sensitive, someone's trying to get in. We go back into the house and lock the door behind us, turning off the lantern, and sat inside the dark, waiting for our eyes to adjust. A told me that she hadn't been able to sleep well, and had been lying awake in the dark in the loft, feeling uneasy. I told her I wondered if somebody had tried to lure her out there alone in the dark, and had been spooked off when the two of us came in with an extremely bright lantern. We then stay there, quietly chatting together in the dark for hours, waiting to see if anything else would happen, but the alarm doesn't go off again. And finally, enough times pass that we decide to go to bed. The car alarm was quiet for the rest of the night. That was our last night there, so in the morning we pack up and I drove back with A. Now, if a zombie apocalypse were to happen, I'd pick A for my team because she was listening to our gut and worked with me as a team to keep everyone safe. I'll keep this short and sweet, but this happened a few years back. We're having a brutally cold winter. The snow had frozen into ice and covered everything. It was pitch black in the backyard, and when I went to let my dogs outside one last time before bed that evening, as we exited the house from the sliding door for the walkout basement and onto the lower deck, I felt that something's off. Our house backs up onto some woods, so I was accustomed to hearing noises from wildlife in the nighttime, but this is different. Nothing made a sound except the Arctic cold wind, but I had a feeling that I'm being watched. The entire time, my dog was in the backyard. I looked around nervously, expecting a coyote or some other kind of predator to pop out of the tree line. My dog does his business, but afterwards, stopped and stared to the corner of the woods until I actually get scared and call him back inside. He hurries back. I quickly lock the sliding door and shut the curtains, unable to shake the uneasy feeling of which I'm having now. After double and triple checking all the locks in the house, I go to bed. Around 3 in the morning, I now hear the muffled sound of my dog barking from the basement 2 floors below. I got up, stumbled down 3 flights of stairs, and found him standing in the basement. He was peeking his head through the closed curtains, barking his head off with the hair standing up all along his back. Now, I try calling him away from the door, but he won't let up, which is weird. I dreaded peeking out the curtain to see what he's barking at after the uneasy feeling I had earlier in the night. Finally, I hold my breath and swipe the curtains aside. I peer into the inky blackness but see nothing to cause alarm, and a wave of relief washes over me. Now I figured that it must have been a deer or raccoon in the yard that set him off. He whined at the door for a few more minutes until I bribed him upstairs with a cookie for dogs. I went back to bed and wasn't disturbed again, that is, until the morning when I went into the basement to let the dog out. I opened the sliding door and walked out onto the deck as he bounded into the snow. My blood ran cold as the sub-zero morning temperatures pierced when I looked down. But there, frozen into the deck, were a set of bare human footprints which are very clear. I can make out each toe on the person's footprint. The prints were large and appeared to be from an adult male. Looking around, I noticed that they started at the deck, went to the sliding door, then towards the basement living room, then disappearing off the side of the deck. I had my snow boots on, so I walked around but couldn't find any other trace of the footprints. Keep in mind, the daily temperatures are around 0, never above it, and the wind chill made it feel close to 20 below. Frostbite would have literally set in within a matter of minutes for anybody out there, especially in the dead of night. Now, I've never experienced anything like it since. My father is a park ranger, and even when he was off duty, he still liked to take me on trips out into the great wilderness. We went to quite a few different national parks, but something that I'd like to share with you is a rather strange experience that we had while we went on one camping trip during the summer. Now, we were planning to be out here for about 4 days, and this is during the summer break. It meant that a lot of different places were very busy, but my father, having the career that he did, knew one that would be a very quiet place we could go to, and I was all up for it. At the time, I was doing okay in school, but I didn't really know what I wanted, really. At the time, I was pretty sure I was going to end up in the military, but it didn't happen for a few reasons. But because of this at the time, my dad thought it would be a good idea to take me out into the woods just to get accustomed to being outside. It made a lot of sense, and obviously you're going to spend time camping out if you're in the military, so it was a pretty good idea, we thought. I did have some summer school things that I needed to do which were coming up, and I really didn't want to do them. I don't know, the idea of summer school just never really made sense to me. The way that I'd look at it is that you're on summer vacation for a reason, and you shouldn't have to do more things in between. I think it should be a time that you can really rest and recover, but my mum didn't think so. Again, I think my dad understood this, and that's why he was quite willing to take me on a nice trip I could enjoy. There's a number of different things we had planned for this particular trip. Now, on the first day, we set out just for a nice hike to see the views. We had all of our camping gear with us in some old military rucksack things, my dad carrying the most. Now, During the first day, we saw a couple of people around, but I realized that the further we went, the less and less they would become. Now, this is a good thing for me because I kind of wanted to escape people a bit. It was a really good experience, and I had a good time bonding with my father over this. Now, eventually it gets closer to nightfall, and we decide that we're going to try some night fishing. It's something that I haven't done before, so I'm quite excited to do so. We eventually make it to the campground that my dad had picked out for us, so I'm pretty happy to be there and put the stuff down. My dad shows me where we can do the fishing and sets up everything and gives me a headlamp. Now, while this is happening, I haven't really done fishing before, so I'm pretty much at a loss as to how exactly I'm supposed to do this, so every 5 minutes that I haven't caught anything, I put my headlamp closer to the water looking for the fish, obviously scaring them off, and I constantly move my fishing reel around thinking that's going to make a difference, but again, it probably just scares them off. I don't know. I was more worried about hurting my hand on the fishing reel. My dad seems to be gone for quite a while though, but it doesn't really bother me at the time because I'm too caught up in trying to do the fishing. While fishing, I can hear some water disturbance. It's not close, but I definitely notice it, and I face my head up, trying to shine my lamp towards it, but obviously I can't see that far. The torch isn't that powerful. Now, I can just about make out the silhouette of something in the water before it disappears down again, and I think, wow, that must have been a really big fish. Now, something strange that happened while doing so is, out of my peripheral vision, I realized that a plant has just moved, like somebody's gone over and touched it. Now again, there's no one around but myself and my dad, and I know it's not my dad, so I'm a little bit unsettled by this. Now, I do think maybe it was just some kind of animal, so I don't think too much of it. I try and cast my fishing reel as far out as I can now. I just about do so, and my dad eventually arrives and says, "God, son, you know you took me out with that. You have to be careful," and shows me how to do it properly. And my dad's actually doing fishing properly. We didn't eventually find anything, but he tells me not to shine the light down because it scares the fish and that you kind of want to stay still. I tell him that I'm sure there was a large fish that disturbed the waters further up, but he tells me the fish shouldn't be big enough to really do that, because I said it was similar to a person, but I think my dad dismisses this. Now it starts to get quite cold, so we head back to our campsite and settle in for the night. And it's a pretty good night. My dad was reading a book, and I wasn't really sure what to do with myself, so I just started drawing some things. It's something I'd done when I was a lot younger. I don't actually do drawing anymore, but I'm pretty good at kind of like the cartoon sketches for some reason. I guess I used to draw The Simpsons and SpongeBob or something like that, but I think that's the reason that I have kind of a knack for it. And my dad was pretty impressed with my drawings. I just drew some of the forest and tried to draw the thing that I'd seen in the water earlier. Well, not necessarily the thing, but the way the water was disturbed and the plant moving. It felt like the right thing to do at the time. And that was that. We eventually fall asleep and wake up for the next day. Now on the second day, we weren't actually leaving this spot, and we were just going to do some more hiking around. My dad took me to one place, and my god did it have a beautiful view there. Everything looked so pristine and beautiful, and at the time it cemented into my mind that I wanted to be a military person, because I thought, well, I'm just going to be seeing things like this all the time, and for that I was incredibly excited. Now my grandfather and his grandfather are in the military. We're kind of from a military family, so I thought it was going to be good to follow suit. Now, eventually this day comes to a close and nothing too much happened. The following morning we pack up and we're ready to go on to the last part of this, getting to the last campsite, the third one. Now the hiking to get to this one wasn't too bad really. And again, I was pretty pleased to go out there. I don't know why, I just felt good the whole time, and it was a lovely experience. Now we get to the campground eventually and settle in for the night. And this is when things get a bit weird. I'm awoken by the sight of somebody outside the tent. I can just about see the silhouette. I say, "Dad," and then realize he's not there, and I quickly unzip the tent. I can see my dad holding the hunting knife and torch in the other, pointing at someone. I say, "Dad, Dad," and he says, "To stay still, son," and my dad screams at somebody to get back now. Because of how bright it is, and obviously I've just come out of the dark tent, my eyes haven't adjusted, but I quickly go and grab my headlamp and turn that on, and I can see somebody covered in blood there holding a knife, just staring at me and my dad. Now, what was really crazy is what happened next. He turns round, throws himself into a tree, then gets up again, and repeats the process. He stares at us for probably 10 seconds before going up to the exact same tree near our campsite, throwing himself at it, then coming back again. I realise that he's dropped a knife and constantly picks it up, and he hasn't cut himself, and the blood and stuff is just from the tree. But what on earth is he doing? Now this gone on for a good 10 minutes before my dad tells me to start packing up everything. I quickly do so, and I didn't feel too scared in this moment because having my dad there with his knife made me feel like the safest person in the world. Now we eventually get all of our stuff together, and I kid you not, the whole time this guy was constantly doing the same thing over and over again. I've never seen anything like it, and not even to this day I haven't. We eventually get our stuff together, and my dad tells me to hold his hand and to lead the way back. Now this is a big responsibility at the time, because I haven't really been camping like this before, and I'm not certain I know the way back, but my dad tells me that he's not going to look back until this guy is out of sight. Now I do constantly glance back, and my dad tells me not to because he can see when I'm doing it because of the light, and he knows how scared I can get sometimes. But I asked my dad what's happening, and he said that the guy's constantly doing this same thing over and over again, until eventually we're at a point where my dad can take over and tells me to do the same. My dad's walking incredibly quick, and eventually we make it back. My dad quickly makes a call to the police and reports what's happening. I'm confused as heck, and eventually we get back into the car and drive home. Now it turns out that what happened, and this is something I only learnt after my dad told me after a number of years, is that the police found that guy there. Apparently, he had stabbed somebody and then taken some kind of mushroom that gives you a repetitive motion syndrome or whatever it's called. And that's why he was throwing himself at the tree. Apparently he was completely out of his mind, but they managed to capture him. Now if it wasn't for that mushroom making him repeat his motions, he could have easily continued to progress towards us and probably just stabbed us in our tent. But thank God he didn't. In 2020, my mum, 60s female, and I, 30s female, decided to go on an overnight camping trip together on the Oregon coast. I picked what looked like a pretty campsite from a campsite app and we went off. When we got there, we realized it's right off the highway, but there were enough trees and a fence up that you couldn't really see the road. But the gate was just a metal gate that swung into place with no locks. There was a house on either side, but the property was fenced in on both sides. We pitched a tent pretty far back, close to the woods on the property. The closest house was about 100 yards away, and the highway was about 200 yards. But then again, it was mostly fenced in and surrounded by firs. It's a lovely campsite, and my mum raved about how beautiful the place was. I will say that I got a feeling of dread as soon as we walked onto the property, but we arrived late, and I didn't know we'd be able to get a new spot quickly. My mum could tell I was nervous, but for some reason, I put her enjoyment of the beauty of the campsite over my feeling of dread. We made a nice campfire and enjoyed some hot chocolate as we watched the fire. I keep an eye out and didn't see or hear anything too odd. IIRC. My mum went to bed before I did and stayed up and watches the fire for a long time before going to bed. Finally, I tuck in very exhausted from staying up. At about 2 a.m, I awoke to twig snapping and what sounded like somebody dragging their fingers on the side of the tent. Up to the front, I sat up, grabbed the phone and the only weapon I had, a flashlight, and unzipped my sleeping bag in case I need to fight anyone. There was a full moon that night and I couldn't tell if it was a person's shadow falling on the tent or if a tree branch shadow was moving from the wind. It sounded like there's two people outside trying their best to be quiet. We had brought our books and boots inside and there was no indicator of anybody being out there. It felt like they were trying to gauge the tent that I was in while listening for what they were. I had made sure to make enough noise so they knew somebody inside was alert, but no more than that. If they knew someone is awake, they can't surprise us, but they also don't know who is inside or whether we have guns or not. I sat there in the dark until dawn. My mum slept through the whole thing. When we got up and out of the tent, small things had been moved. Our camp chairs had cup holders. One cup had been in the cup holder, which was on the ground. A pen that had been in a cup holder was also on the ground now. My mum raves about how good her sleep was and how refreshing it was to camp there, so I didn't want to burst her bubble or scare her. We packed up and I didn't tell her, but let her have a nice memory of deep rest and relaxation while camping on this beautiful property. Was it someone living in the woods? Someone walking down the highway in the middle of the night, or God knows who? My mum got a great experience and I got a refund and a fear of camping. The property owner said that they might actually set up cameras now just to keep an eye on things for the future. Now it's really the people out there that scare me more than anything. I don't like the way that they're acting so misconspicuously and trying their best not to be heard. That's what creeps me out, and why would they go through our stuff? Now, I work as a childcare professional, and one of the kids that I look after had recently gotten into hiking. I decided to take him into a really cool trail in the Salt Fork State Park. We were all set up to hike to the Hoss Cave after parking right near the beginning of the trailhead. The entire trail was about half a mile, which is why I say I chose the trail for our hike that day. I also chose this trail because any time that I'd been on it before, it was busy and full of people and a very popular site, which makes me feel very secure. However, this past summer, we had a cluster of 7 summer storms which causes massive damage to the trail, so to my surprise, it was much more difficult and completely empty. I wasn't bothered by the trail being obviously empty because there was a small construction crew working on a bridge that was just barely visible from the trailhead. He was still up for the hike, despite the entire width of the trail being washed out until it was no more than a foot or so wide with a 6-foot to 12-foot drop off into a creek bed. There's then a solid rock and several miles of trees. Now, he's very athletic and I was confident in his abilities and he was so excited to tackle our adventure. We made it all the way to the platform that allows you to see the entire cave. Now, there's many trees which are surrounding the platform and it was actually closed at this point, but we made it this far and we decided to maneuver around the platform and proceed a few hundred feet into the cave. We spent the most time in this area due to the difficulty, so I knew exactly what it looks like. There were tree roots directly under the platform and you could climb down on either side of them. It's also worth noting that the cave is much more like a cliff with an overhanging rock formation and a trickle of water directly in the middle. It's not a creepy closed up cave, it's very open and beautiful. We got to the cave and I noticed a candle that was not burning recently, but had been at some point sitting on a large rock. and had a heart caved into it. I chalked it up to somebody having a date or something and disregarding it. He wanted to climb to the top when I noticed two more candles and three stacks of small rocks that had been stacked up by someone. It definitely felt weird at this point, but it was about this time that he found a small puddle full of baby salamanders and wanted to catch them. It was the happiest I've seen him in a very long time, and I didn't have the heart to tell him that we have to go. We spent about an hour catching baby salamanders, and I watched him have the time of his life. We finally decide to leave, and when we got to the platform, dead center in the middle of the tree roots was a wet washcloth hanging in there, which was absolutely not there before. He noticed it as well, but didn't pick up on the severity of the situation of which we're in. At that moment, I actually knew two things. One, someone's watching us, and we didn't see them. And two, they were potentially hiding in the woods and made a point to not be seen, but to leave an object to be noticed. There was no running back with the narrow trail, and I was not about to tell him that we're in potential danger. I told him to go out in front of me, and I just encourage him basically, and say we're doing great, over and over, and that speeds him up naturally. I never saw anyone until we're on the trail. We got to the car and I locked the doors immediately. On our way out of the park, a very dirty man, probably in his 30s, came out of the woods and just stares at me, absolutely void of emotions. That man completely follows me until I'm out of sight with his eyes, literally like a serial killer stare. Now, I knew the third fact at that point, that he made a point to make himself apparent, and that's the one that kind of scares me the most. That stare actually stuck with me for days, and I considered cancelling after that as it bothered me for several weeks, causing anxiety. I tried to tell myself that maybe we interrupted his bath time and he didn't want to startle us. After all, he could have just been out there and watching us catching salamanders waiting to go. But I just cannot rationalise why he stared at me like that and wouldn't move. Deep down I know that it was probably a deliberate scare tactic or something. He never had any idea how panicked I was, so my boyfriend. It was the most fun that I've ever seen him have. He brings this up on a regular basis as a very positive experience, but for me, it was not good and I feel very disturbed.